want to talk to you this morning about the upward call. The upward call. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that it began to sink. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I'm just asking that this truth that you've placed in my heart this morning, Father, I pray that as it goes out of my mouth, you'd place your hand upon it, that the weight of your hand, the weight of your heart, the weight of your glory would come upon it and cause it just to sink deep into our hearts, Lord. Father, I just feel in my heart I don't need a lot of words to say this morning. The story is going to pretty much speak for itself. And I just pray, Lord, that it would find, Lord, a deep place in our heart. Lord, give us humble hearts to hear, because your word is like water. When it's poured out, it seeks the deepest places, God, the lowest places, Lord. And God, it's in that place of humility that your word produces its greatest fruit. And I just thank you, Lord, and we love you today, and we thank you for the power of your word. God, you said in Ecclesiastes, where the word of the king is, there is power. And Father, we thank you that your word has the power to produce the very things it proclaims to our lives. Thank you, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The upward call. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, we see that Jesus is ministering to a multitude of people. And the Bible says that these people begin to press upon him to hear his word. That their hearts were like dry, barren, cracked ground in a desert of religiousness. And Jesus' words were like heavenly rain. And that their parched hearts craved the true word from heaven that was just saturated with the life of God. And after ministering, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And beloved, I believe we all have experienced those seasons where we just sense that the Lord is calling us to deeper places. That we all have those seasons in our heart where we can just sense that the Holy Spirit is stirring a thirst and a hunger in our heart to go to deeper places with God. There are times that we feel a stirring in our hearts to go to a deeper place of intimacy with God, or a deeper place of faith and trust with God, or a deeper place of surrender, or a deeper place of purity and Christ-like character. That we all know those seasons when we sense the Lord is calling us into a deeper place, and there's a thirst in our heart to go with the Lord into these deeper places. But here is the realistic truth. Have you ever noticed God calls us to go to deeper places at some of the most inconvenient times? Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed that those times when the heart begins to hunger to move into a deeper place with the Lord, sometimes it can come at some of the most inconvenient times. I mean, take Peter as our example. Jesus tells him to launch out into the deep in the most inconvenient time. He's been fishing all night. He has caught nothing. He's feeling the weight of those empty nets in his heart because fishing is the livelihood of his family. And it's at this moment he's feeling failure and defeat and disappointment and discouragement and weariness and frustration. And then the Lord is telling him, let's go deeper. You know, right now the last thing in the world that Peter wants to do is pack up his nets, go back out into the lake and go fishing. That's the last thing in the world he wants to do right now. Right now, I'm sure all Peter wants to do is wash his nets, go home, and hope for a better day. That's probably where he's at right now. And this is so often the case. So often when we feel the call in our hearts to go deeper, it is at the most inconvenient times. Failure is staring us in the face. Disappointment in myself is staring me in the face. Discouragement is staring me in the face. Weariness is staring me in the face. And so often we can tell the Lord, Lord, I hear your call to go deeper, but right now I just don't feel like I have the strength to move into deeper places with you. And I want to tell you that these most inconvenient times, it is the plan of God. It's not because God has lousy timing. It's not because it's just a coincidence. It's just happened on this day. No, it is a sovereign act of God. And why is it a sovereign act of God? Why does God purposely put that call to go to deeper places in these times? Why? Because this is the time when your own strength is out of the way. This is the time when my own strength is out of the way. Beloved, think about it. Peter is an expert fisherman who's fished all night and he's caught nothing. And his own strength has failed him. And right now he's sitting in a place where he's very aware that his own strength has failed him. And this is God's intention. In these times, God is saying to us, I'm calling you to a deeper place. And it's not going to be your strength that's going to carry you there. Your own strength is wretched strength. Your own strength is woeful strength. Your own strength is worthless strength. So don't look to it and don't put your trust in it. Amen. So then the question becomes, if there's absolutely nothing in myself that I can look to, then where is my trust to be? When I'm sensing the Lord calling me into a deeper place, when there's such a thirst in my heart to go into a deeper place of intimacy with God, a deeper place of surrender with God, a deeper place of faith with God, if there's nothing in myself that I can look to, then why am I supposed to look to? Well, look with me in this story. Go with me to verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. So, beloved, when there's nothing in ourselves that we can look to, where are we to look? The word. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, there are so many scriptures that tell us God will be faithful to do the work. Capture that. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that tell us that God will be faithful to do the work. He doesn't need anything from our strength. He doesn't need any help from our strength. In fact, listen, capture this. Everybody capture this. The more our strength is out of the way, the more His power can work in our lives. That's an amazing truth. The more that our strength is out of the way, the more His power can work in our lives. Capture that. Amen. Listen, going all the way back to the beginning, when the Lord first began to call a people to walk with Him by faith, He began to reveal this truth. He said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will give you this land, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. God kept telling Abraham, I will do this because you have no strength to produce covenant promises. I love that story. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. I think if you haven't done so, you need to go to Genesis 12, 1 through 3 and circle or highlight or underline every time God says, I will. I will do it. I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will give you the land. And what he's saying to Abraham is simply this. I'm going to have to do it because there's nothing in you that can produce covenant promises. All the way from the beginning, he tells his people that. You know, I love the story. I think of another example. I think about that sacred moment when God released his people out of Babylonian captivity. And he calls a man named Zerubbabel to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And the Bible tells us that when Zerubbabel got to Jerusalem, he saw what God called him to do. He's looking at all the burned out ruins. He's looking at all the burned out stones, and his heart is suddenly becoming overwhelmed. And he looks at what God gave him to work with, ruins and ashes and burned out stones, and something comes in his heart that says, God, how do you expect me to fulfill the call you put on my life? How do you expect me to raise these ruins from the ashes? How do you expect me to do that? And it's at that moment that his heart is really feeling overwhelmed, but then God sends a word to his heart. The word is simply this, Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit you will rebuild the ruins. And what God is saying to Zerubbabel is simply this, Zerubbabel, your strength has nothing to do with this. It will be by the power of my spirit that this temple will be resurrected from the ashes. Zerubbabel, not by might, not by human power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how we're going to raise these ruins from the dead. And then in the New Testament, God tells his New Testament people, everything he's going to do in our life has nothing to do with our strength. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God who works in you. And here's what the Lord wants us to understand. As Christians, it's when your own strength is at its deadest that your hope in his word is at its greatest. As Christians, it's when your own strength is at its deadest that your hope in his promises is at its greatest. So God picks these most inconvenient times for a reason. God orchestrates these most inconvenient times for a reason. That's totally to get self-strength out of the way. Amen. But yet someone would say to me, Pastor Tim, I hear what you're saying, that in the inconvenient times, my strength is out of the way. But these inconvenient times, these times of personal failure, these times of self-disappointment, these times when my own strength has failed me and I've fallen into the pit of failure again, I know that's when so much of my strength has been put away. But does he have to do it that way? Can I just tell you that sometimes personal failure, it can be painful. But sometimes that is actually the thing that opens up the ears of your heart to be able to hear the hope that is in his word. Remember, we're talking about when there's nothing in me to look to, what I have to look to. We have to look to his word. And can I tell you that sometimes those places of personal failure and those places of personal disappointment, those are the times that can really put a humility in the heart that can really hear the hope that's in the Word of God. Them are the times that they produce a humility that can only really hear the hope that what God is trying to say. Now, I want to show you an example of this. I want you to go with me to John chapter 21. Go with me to John chapter 21. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love his word this morning? Amen. Love his word this morning. Look with me at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. So the Lord appears to Peter on the shores And he asked Peter a question after they dined on some biscuits and probably some sweet tea. And he says to Simon, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, Simon, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now, this is what I want us to understand. When Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs, he knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He had ears to hear exactly what Jesus was saying. You see, when Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs, Jesus wasn't just saying, feed my lambs. What he was saying is this, Peter, my weak ones, lambs, those who struggle, those who yet haven't learned how to walk in my strength, those who haven't yet learned how to be carried by grace in places of weakness, Peter, I want you to lead them in great gentleness. I want you to lead them in great tenderness. I want you to nourish them and lead them and walk with them and strengthen them in great tenderness. You see, when Peter heard Jesus say, feed my lambs, the ears of his heart was able to really hear what Jesus was saying. Not just feed my lambs. Peter, I'm going to have weak ones. I'm going to have those that struggle. I'm going to have those that haven't yet learned how to walk in my strength and be carried by my grace. And you've got to be very tender with them, Peter. You've got to be very gentle with them, Peter. You've got to walk with them in great grace. That's what Peter heard. He was able to hear what Jesus was saying. But here's the question I want to ask. Where did his hearing ears come from? Where did he gain those hearing ears? Let me tell you where he gained them. He gained them in the place of great personal failure. What I mean by that? Beloved, go back to that time Jesus said to his disciples, this night all of you will forsake me. And Peter, in his arrogant boast, because he's still a man that trusts in his own strength and has confidence in his own strength and walks in his own strength, he says in that arrogant, proud boast, he says, Lord, although all will forsake you, I will never forsake you. I will never forsake you, Lord. Though everyone else is going to forsake you, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all the way. What an arrogant boast. But we know the end of the story. When it came to match his walk with his talk, he gave in to his fear like everyone else. He didn't have the strength to follow, and he ran away. But here's the question I want to ask. Suppose he did succeed. Suppose out of this arrogant boast, he did follow Jesus all the way. What would the tragedy have been? Let me tell you what it had been. Later, when Jesus said to him, Peter, feed my lambs, that same proud, arrogant boast would have came up out of his heart. You want me to feed your lambs? No problem, Jesus, I can do this. You want me to feed your lambs? Oh, don't worry about it, Jesus. I'll take care of your lambs. I'll feed your lambs. I'll nourish your lambs. Don't worry about it, Jesus. And he would have never been able to hear what Jesus was saying. He would have never been able to hear Jesus saying, Peter, I'm going to have those that are weak. I'm going to have those that are struggling. I'm going to have those that can't walk in my strength. I'm going to have those that haven't yet learned to be carried by my grace. And I need you to be very tender with them, Peter. He would have never heard that because his own arrogance would have gotten in the way. And I'm telling you, if there's a humility that God doesn't work in our heart, we'll think we're hearing what he says, but our own arrogance will get in the way. Our own pride will get in the way. We'll be so deaf to the deeper things he's trying to speak because our own pride and arrogance will rise up in our heart and say, I got this. But it was out of that place of understanding, I can't even walk if Jesus don't hold my hand. It's that place of understanding that suddenly the ears in his heart begin to open. And he could hear what Jesus was saying. So does he always have to do it that way? Does he always have to call us to deeper places in the most inconvenient times? And when I'm in my place of failure, and I'm in my place of self-disappointment, and I'm in that place where my faults and my imperfections are just staring me in the face, does he always have to come at that time and say, let's go deeper? I'm not saying he has to always come at that time, but I'm going to tell you that is one of his favorite times. Because there are the times never before do I realize my own strength is wretched, my own strength is woeful, my own strength is worthless. And if I'm going to go to deeper places with you, God, you have to do it. Because I don't have anything to offer you. Beloved, it's in those times that sometimes it just puts a humility in the heart where you can really hear what the Lord is saying, and you can really hear the hope that he's speaking. So, yes, there are times he has to do it that way. Amen. Now, let me show you where this message was birthed. I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Look with me at verse 10 and 11. It says, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he says unto you, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with you. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And beloved, I just want to say that I'm in a season with the Lord where I'm feeling in my heart the upward call. I'm feeling in my heart that the Lord is calling me to a higher place. I feel in my heart that the Lord is calling me to a deeper place. When I say higher place, that's what I'm speaking of. I feel like there's just a deeper place that the Lord is calling me in. A deeper place of intimacy with him. A deeper place of worship. You know, a deeper place of trust and faith. I just sense it in my heart. I'm in a season where the Lord is saying, I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you deeper. But for me, it has come with a great struggle. You see, I'm hungry for this deeper place. I'm hungry to go with God to this deeper place. But yet, never before have I been so aware of my own weaknesses. Never before have I been so aware of my own faults and my own failures. I mean, I'm hearing God saying, I'm calling you deeper. But never before has my own weaknesses and my own imperfections and my own failures stared me in the face like they're staring me in the face today. But as I've said so often, the two go hand in hand. It's in those seasons when you sense God is calling you to go to deeper places that your weaknesses and your faults and your imperfections and your shortcomings have never been so apparent. Listen, our school has just been in session for about a month and a half now. About a month and a half. And I believe there are students here who in your heart you're beginning to sense God calling you to a deeper place. But yet, like never before, has your weaknesses and your faults and your failings been so apparent. You're just in a place where I'm always seeing my heart. I mean, thank God for roommates, but my roommates is always causing me to see my heart. I'm not as nice as I thought I was. I'm not as kind as I thought I was. I'm not as patient as I thought I was. I'm not as long-suffering as I thought I was. And it's in this place I hear the Lord saying, let's go deeper. I was a student. I know how it works. There are times I want to take my roommate outside and choke him to death. I found out I wasn't as humble and kind and long-suffering as patient as I thought I was. And maybe there are people here and you're not part of the school, but you call this your church. This is your church. And you're sensing the Lord in your heart. You're just sensing He's calling me to a deeper place. He's calling me to a deeper place of worship, a deeper place of surrender. But never before have I just seen my weaknesses and my faults and my failures. And I just don't understand why it would be in this place. He would call me to a deeper place of intimacy with Him. I don't know. And beloved, this is where I was. God, I'm so hungry to go higher. I'm so hungry to go deeper. But God, how do I get there? With all the weakness staring me in the face and all the flaws, my personal flaws staring me in the face. And never have I just felt so weak in your presence. How do I get to these deeper places? And the Lord spoke to me and He said, Tim, the answer is right there in your story. Look with me at verse 11. Chapter 14, verse 11. It says, for whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And here's the answer. Tim, you want to know how you're going to reach these deeper places? Humble yourself. That's your answer. Has nothing to do with your strength. Has nothing to do with you getting yourself there. How do you get to these deeper places, Tim? Humble yourself. What do you mean by humble yourself? Tell me you can't do it. Tell me there's nothing in you that can do it. Tell me it has to be all of you, God, and nothing of me. Tell me that you don't have anything of yourself you can boast in, anything of yourself you can lean upon, anything of yourself you can trust in. Humble yourself, Tim. Tell me that. That's your answer. And there's just been something in my heart crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know I can't do it. But God, I know you can do it. So Lord, I humble myself by taking my eyes off of me and taking my eyes off of my strength and taking off my eyes off of my abilities and taking my eyes off of my efforts and all my strife and just taking my eyes off of all that and putting my complete dependence upon you. God, if you say you're going to do it, then you'll have to be the one to do it. And the Lord says, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just need a humble heart. I just need a heart that can say, Lord, I place all my dependence upon you because I can't do it. If you're sensing a call to a deeper place of intimacy with God, humble yourself. If you're sensing a call to go to a deeper place of worship, humble yourself. A deeper place of faith, humble yourself. A deeper place of surrender, humble yourself. A deeper place of purity, humble yourself. It's a very sweet thing to be in the Lord's presence at His feet. Just sitting at His feet and saying, God, it's all of you and nothing of me. I can't do it, but your word says that you can do it, and you don't need my help. That's what God told Abraham, I don't need your help. That's what God told Zerubbabel, I don't need your help. That's what God tells us in Philippians 2:13, I don't need your help. It's me who works in you both to will and do. Just humble your heart, and I'll do the work. Amen. Stand with me. Beloved, my altar call is going to be very simple. I'm just going to go right with the message. Simply this, Pastor Tim, I do sense in my heart God is calling me to a deeper place. I thirst in my heart to go to a deeper place. I know that's the Holy Spirit calling me to a deeper place because there's a thirst in my heart to go to a deeper place with the Lord. But yet never before have I felt so weak in myself. Never before has my own weakness been so apparent. Never before has my faults and my failures seemed to stare me in the face like they do today. And I just want to humble myself before the Lord. I just want to say, Lord, I'm going to come sit at your feet and look into your face and say, God, all of you and nothing of me. Lord, I hear your call, and I'm just placing all of my dependence before you. I'm placing all of my need before you, God, Lord. And I'm just going to humble myself in your presence. And that's where the Lord is going to meet you, and he's going to speak strength to your heart. And he's going to say, that's all I need. That's all I need. That's all I need to bring you to these deeper places. That's all I need to take you deeper. That's all I need. Amen. So if that's you, why don't you just come and join me in the altar? Let's take our weaknesses and our struggles and our battles and our discouragement, and let's set them before the Lord and just say, Lord, I don't really have anything to offer you, but just a heart that hungers to go deeper. And the Lord is going to say, that's all I need, because I'm the one that put that hunger there to begin with. That's all I need. Amen. So let's just talk to the Lord now. Father, I thank you that as we sit at your feet in a place of humility, God, Lord, we have ears to hear the hope that is in your word today, God. Father, if you say that you can take us deeper, you can take us deeper. God, if you tell us you can bring us into a deeper place of intimacy, a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of surrender, a deeper place of purity, God, you're able. God, you don't need our help. You don't need our strength. God, in our strengthlessness, your strength is sufficient. In our powerlessness, your power is sufficient. And I thank you, God, in this place of humility, we're able to hear the hope that is in your word. I thank you that self-strength doesn't have a voice now. Doesn't have anything to speak to us now. Doesn't have any hope to give us now, because it's a false hope. But Lord, now we hear your voice so clearly from your word. I will. Everything that I've called you to be, everything that I called you to do, I will perform it in your life. I will perform it through your life. It's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I thank you, God. And Lord, I do, my heart moves with compassion, because I know some of my brothers and sisters in this altar. I know, Lord, they are in a place of facing failure. I know they're in a place of self-disappointment. I know that. But God, you've come by your word today, and you broke that over our life. You're breaking it now. You're saying, look to me, look to me, look to my power, look to my strength, look to my faithfulness. If I said it, I will perform it. I will perform it. And I thank you for that, God. Father, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that we hear the hope of your word today. That I am building a temple in your life. And it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And Father, I pray that everyone who's in this altar, Lord, they would walk out encouraged by your word. They would walk out encouraged by your faithfulness. That this hunger that they feel in their heart is going to become a reality. This hunger to go deeper is going to become a reality. Because it has nothing to do with my strength. It has everything to do with the faithfulness of my God. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that each heart would walk out of here encouraged. That this hunger that I feel in my heart, the stirring that I feel in my heart, it's going to be a reality because God is going to do it. God is going to do it. I am going deeper. I am going to become the man of God, the woman of God. I'm going to become everything God has called me to be. And it has nothing to do with my strength. It has everything to do with His strength. And I thank You, God. Lord, just encourage every heart in this altar. Be confident that He which began a good work in you will complete it, says the Lord. That's for you in the altar this morning. It doesn't be discouraged. It doesn't say be discouraged. It doesn't say be despairing. It says be confident now that He which began a good work in you will complete that work. Be confident. Amen. Let's just worship just a moment longer. And you that are in the altar, let's just use this time of worship as a way of just thanking Him for His faithfulness. God, I worship You because You are a faithful, covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. And if You say You're going to take me deeper, You're going to take me deeper. God, I just worship You. Let's just take a moment to worship. Everyone, let's just worship the Lord for a moment because He is so faithful to His covenant promises. Amen. And let me just say that that's never going to change. The longer you walk with God, the more you will feel like you need Him. That's just a kingdom reality. The longer you walk with God, the more that you're going to feel like you need Him. But that's just the evidence you're going to deeper places. That is just the evidence that you are moving in the deeper places. Amen. And that is a reality that's going to live in your heart. And what a precious reality it is. Just always knowing more and more, God, I need You. I lean upon You. I look to You. Amen. Amen. Stand with me and we're going to close in prayer this morning. Father, I just thank You for this service, Lord. I thank You for Your goodness and worship. God, just putting a word in Sister Caitlin's heart to just encourage us, Lord, to know that we stand in Your side as more than conquerors in the battle, Lord, and to arm ourselves with faith and stand in the strength of the Lord. God, You give us feelings, and feelings and emotions have a healthy place in our life. But at the same time, God, we don't stand in the strength of emotion and feelings when they contradict Your word. We stand in Your strength, God. And Your strength says that we have a rightful place in Your presence, worshiping You, God, because we are clothed in Your righteousness, Lord. And Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the goodness of Your word today, God. That I know many of us came in here very weak in ourselves, but You're sending us out with such hope, God, that it's in Your strength that these places that we're hungering for in our heart, Your strength, Your grace is carrying us into these places. Thank You for that, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that people that just need to be encouraged and strengthened today are going to walk out encouraged and strengthened in the hope of Your word. And I thank You. And beloved, before I say amen, I just feel to say this from the Lord, okay? Have a good day. Enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made. And His faithfulness, I mean, there's nowhere you can turn in your life without bumping into His faithfulness. You are hemmed in by His faithfulness. And I just really sense in my heart, I don't say this a lot, but I sense in my heart the Lord is saying, enjoy this day today. Enjoy it today. Amen. Enjoy it today. I'm going to keep saying it till y'all smile. Enjoy this day today. Amen. God is good. Amen. So, amen. And I'll see you later.